foreign army, yeah, guard them against this cholera now. Cholera came, and oh God, I still remember, you see rivers. You could walk across the river on human corpses. You know, one touching the other from one end to the other. And if you go and read the story very well, one day I heard Paul Kagame narrating what happened, some of his soldiers, you will know that only the Lord put an end to that mayhem. Look, I'm trying to emphasize to you that these are spiritual battles. Are you getting my point? And the prayer, one prayer that I believe the Holy Spirit led me to pray recently, that was yesterday here or the day before, I said, because of the word that we have preached, because of that word, listen, it has to be manifest. You know, he said to Simon, you are not going to die until you see this thing. Do you follow? Therefore, I pray that God, you know, the word we have preached, the one that you have used my mouth to declare to your people, those words will be manifested only in peace and in tranquility. Are you getting what I'm saying? That word is called shalom, prosperity. It's not just money. It includes peace of mind in your mind. It includes peace of mind because your environment is quiet. I said that word must, of a necessity, entrench peace in this nation. I finally found out, you know, people say, cut the country here. Let the north go. It's not so. We don't have that kind of sharp boundary. We don't have it. How are you going to twist it into Kaduna and cut away half of the Christians and go into Kebbi and cut away the majority of Christians and go into Bauchi and cut away half of the people? I mean, the population are half or more. Since we are bound by one name, we have authority to reach to the very ends up north there. I love the Chadians, but I don't know them. Therefore, the Spirit can pass that direction. That's where it came from. Just go, 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 go. But for us, peace is our portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Peace. Peace. And we are addressing it from a spiritual perspective. Watch what you say as Christians. There are statements you don't open your mouth and say. Otherwise, you will have toothache. And that's a warning. If you continue to talk, you have jaw abscess. I'm not joking, no. I hope you're not laughing. This country is in trouble. Toothache. In fact, this country is just going to break. Civil war will soon come out. You are going to hospital. Your dentist must wire your teeth. If you say that one. In fact, what I wanted to preach today, I'll still start it. And I said, you should open to 1 Timothy chapter 6. It's a good place to start it. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, well, let me read the long portion because when we do, we learn a lot. Let me start from verse... I was looking for where to interrupt it. Actually, my plan for to start this year's teaching, I wish to teach on the subject of the devil. Yes. And the overcoming... The fact that we have overcome. That's what I just wish to start the year with. But before then, something came to my mind. I said, let me talk first on a subject titled The Fight of Faith. I don't intend for it to be long. Just maybe like one or two sessions, or three at most, which I titled what? The Fight of Faith. And usually when I want to do something like that, I go through our record and say, what, do we have anything like that? What I now found out it was that in 2009, we did a 10-part series, all right? Titled The Christian's Warfare. Alright? That is the warfare of the Christian. The battle that the Christian has to fight in life. And I believe many of the things I'm going to say now, maybe today alone or today or next time, on the fight of faith will be in that series. And I think we have it on one MP3 CD. So once you don't have it, go and listen to it. Even if you were there then, I would like you to listen to the message. It's titled The Christian's Warfare. What is the problem in the life of a Christian? Is often not what people are, you know, what people are contending with. The Christian's warfare is not how he will become rich in life. Of course, you know that. In fact, it's not even the devil. Do you understand? So you go and read the life of Abraham, see the story, you see that the devil was not mentioned at all, even though the devil was around. The devil wasn't dead that time. He didn't just resurrect in the New Testament. He was there. But the Lord deliberately did not give any emphasis to his presence, because his presence is not very important. You just have to understand the way he moves. And that's what I want to teach about later. You understand? So that Christians will understand it. Because I find out that churches will wake up and say they are a deliverance ministry. Well, praise God for them. I'm not saying you shouldn't deliver in a ministry. But I want, then when you now get closer. One sister told me once, he went to one church. One Sunday, just woke up. She just woke up in the morning. She came to Enugu. She's not based in Enugu normally. She said, all right, let me go to church. She heard a place where loudspeaker there outside, near the house. Now he entered. As they were praying, next thing she opened her eyes and saw one man had come near her, was about to lay hands on her and start delivering her. So he told the guy, will you stop that nonsense? And when the deliverance was not planning to stop, now she carried her back, she ran Komoto. Because it was a deliverance ministry. It will start chasing demons that are not present. Do you understand? Yeah, that's because we have a wrong concept. The fight of the believer is not the fight in that regard. Casting out demons everywhere you go. Your motor is not working well. You, evil spirit, inside this engine. Now, there are times there are evil spirits inside the engine, but go and check it well. There's an evil spirit of not having gone for servicing in 6 months. Those ones are commoner. Are you getting my point? We must understand. So in that series, I taught what the Christian's warfare is about. Your warfare is not with ancestral spirits. They are not fighting you. They can't, actually. Even if they wanted to, well, let's assume they want to fight you. Your battle with them is not so that you might overcome them. You have already overcome them. And one of the problems Christians have is that they fight in a realm where they have no power. Do you hear what I said? They fight in a realm they have no power in. You come down, you want to use common sense to defeat the devil. Aha! You have lost from the beginning. Yes, you have. Once you want to use common sense to defeat the devil, you want to use reasoning. No. You must stick with the truth. And what God does is to tell you the truth, then your fight, actually that's the summary of it. The fight of the Christian is to make sure that he does not let go of the truth. Are you getting my point? That's the whole battle. And what the devil wants is for you to let go of the truth. And then you start using common sense to fight. And once you begin like that, that's it, you've lost the battle. Like I was saying earlier, you want to reason and reason and reason into marital bliss. It can't work. Devil is very wicked, though. For every argument you give, your husband will have two. And for every argument he gives, you will have three. And you guys will go round and round, round and round, round and round, round and round. Until finally I pray you come for Bible study. And somebody will say to you, stop, it's not going to work. Carry this battle to the realm of the spirit. Let me tell you one of the ways to have peace at home. Just be sharing the word. Do you understand my point? Why is it? That's what you are doing. I don't like it. You say, you don't like it? Okay, sit down here first. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever believes will not perish, but have everlasting life. She's waiting for you to get to the issue that she's talking about. You know, I discovered that God is good. Anyone who seeks him will never lack anything good. I'll start rejoicing. Don't worry. First day, your wife will think you are crazy. Don't worry. Then you say, ha. Well, everything, are you serious? Okay. Sit down. Let's talk about it. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You start sharing word. Don't worry, it's not your wife. You are driving away the contentious spirit with the word of God. Are you getting my point? That's what you are doing. You are carrying the battle to the place where the devil has no power. Listen, if you sit there at home every day, you are mourning over your troubles. My mates have built houses. You are whining. When you get home, when your father finishes calling, you say, What are you doing in that dead end job? That ain't no good. Are you sure good is there for you, sir? Can anything good? When he finishes harassing, you know you can't answer your father. If you are well brought up, at least. Just okay, thank you very much. God is good now, you know. Okay, we'll talk later. Quench your phone for 48 hours. You know, the normal human race may not sit down. You'll be shaking your head. God bless me so that my father can keep quiet. God not the answer to that kind of prayer. Why shouldn't a 70-year-old man talk? Leave him, let him talk. You want to change his opinion all over just one day because you're a man of faith? Leave the man alone. Carry your Bible and start rejoicing. Jesus is coming. What has the coming of Jesus got to do with the complaint of your father? Don't worry. But is Jesus coming? Yes. Jesus is coming, oh, amen. Praise him, amen. He's coming, oh, amen. Praise him, amen. Father, I thank you because you are good. That's how to fight the devil. Share the word. Use that one to encourage yourself. What I'm trying to say, once the word is being discussed, the truth of God, devils tend to look for another place. They will go somewhere else. What he wants to do is to remove your mind from. He said, the Bible says, thou will keep in perfect peace the mind that is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Anytime you are disturbed, ask yourself, where's your mind? It's not stayed on God. It's not. What am I saying? That's what Christians, that's how we fight. We don't get into the turf of the devil. You understand my point? The devil wants to tell you that you don't have something. You want to reason with him. Forget, don't even discuss it. Just share the word of God with yourself. Here we go. That's why you see throughout the life of Abraham, the devil was not emphasized. As long as the man never forgot. Because you see, the main thing about Abraham was that he did not forget the promise of God. Do you understand my point? Once you don't forget the promise of God, the devil has lost the battle in your life. So I was saying that's the thing. I just want to talk briefly about the fight of faith. And that's the fight of the believer. That's what we are involved in. Many people are chasing the devil that's already defeated. No. Our duty is to stand our ground in Christ Jesus. I hope you understand what I'm saying there. So let's just read this. I start with it. Whatever I'll get to wherever I want to, wherever I can get to today, and then we'll continue it next time. The fight of faith. Don't forget that message. The Christian's warfare. I think that's how we called it. All right. Listen to it; you will be blessed by it. I believe that very strongly. Now let's just start this one from verse. I don't even know where to start from now. Where I'm going is verse 12, but I can read in context. Okay, let me start from verse 1. I'll be jumping as I'm going. It says, let all those who are under the yoke as slaves regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and our doctrine may not be spoken of, and all of that. If you go to verse 3, it says, if anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those that is the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing. And then it now says down there that such a person is one who believes in verse 5 that godliness is a means of gain. He said, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. For if we have food and covering, and with this, he said, with this we shall be content. Now I'm going somewhere. Then he now talked about the love of money in verse 10. He says, there is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pang or many sorrows. Verse 11 says, but flee from these things, you man of God. What are you to flee from? All the harmful desires and the love of money. Flee from these things, other things like arguments, unnecessary arguments, disputings and all of that. He said, flee from them. Flee from the thought that godliness is a means of gain. Flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. He said, while you are doing this, is what you are doing, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Please, let me read this section again. It says, flee from all these distractions. Please notice that. Flee from all these distractions, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Now, in the pursuit of these, this is what you are doing. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the confession in the presence of many witnesses. Now, I said I want to talk about the fight of faith briefly. Then I will now go into the victory that we have in spiritual matters, especially as it relates with the works of the devil. Now, I said to us earlier, there's not many things that a Christian is to be involved in. Are you getting my point? This is the fight that Christians are supposed to have. It's the fight of faith. My experience in life, please listen to this carefully. Everything in life, you understand, has an aim that's occurring in life. For example, I said to us before, I think also in that series, that you see when Job was tempted, Job, the quarrel in the life of Job, that is, that the devil had, was not about the number of children he had. You understand what I'm saying? It was not the amount of money he had. That was not what he was trying to get. The devil is not going to do anything with your money. If you carry all the money in the world and give to the devil, he won't do anything with it, really. Do you understand? So if the devil attacks your money, it is not money he's looking for. It is something else he's using the money to get at. You get what I'm saying? That's a matter of fact. I remember once my brethren, when we were in university, well, I had left then. The people were left behind. They had a serious crisis in the fellowship. And I called some of the leaders at the point in time because the thing had been going up and down, up and down. And I remember the counsel I gave. And of course, I was proved correct by events that occurred after. I said, you see, all this is happening. You will be accused of this, accused of that. Then some people will gather and say, okay, let us see how we can answer those accusations and then correct whatever it is we need to correct in our lives concerning those accusations. At a point in time, I realized that these things were distractions. Are you getting what I'm saying? They were distractions. So I told the young men, I said, you are forgotten, or let's say you don't understand what is really going on. Nobody is fighting you because you are handsome. Nobody is fighting you because you speak good English. Nobody is fighting you because you did not kneel down to greet. Nobody is fighting all of those things. The devil is fighting just one thing. The place that the word of God occupies in your midst. I said, that is all. And whatever it is you do, make sure you defend that. If that is the reason they will accuse you wrongly, let them accuse you wrongly. Do you understand my point? But of course, well, the events that should happen later, people didn't really get my point. Because, and really, what people came after was that word. They started accusations like they bring pastors from town. We didn't have pastors from town. Are you getting my point? We did not have. The truth was that we used to study the word of God. The truth was that the people used to prophesy. The truth was that people used to speak in other tongues. The truth was that the Holy Spirit was moving, and that was what men did not understand. And that's what they were fighting. And in trying to say, let them not accuse us. So let them not accuse us. Please, we don't want anybody. Okay, no. Of course, at the end of the day, you see, your strength as a believer is the word of God. Whoever can take that out of your life will get you. There's nothing. You can't defend yourself. In your house, they say, don't read Bible. Once they don't read Bible, tell your father you will read. Don't disrespect anything. But once you read that one, say, okay, that is, there's one thing you cannot tell me not to do. That's this Bible. I must read it. It will beat you. Take the beating. And you finish your sermon. I say, can I read my Bible now? I'm telling you the truth. There are things you don't compromise. There are things you don't compromise. When they told Daniel, you can't pray. Daniel said, wait. That's one side we can't go to. We'll throw into lions then. They say it's a nice place to pray. Added my own to it. Do you understand my point? There are things that, you see, that is a core of your life. Are you getting my point? And you don't let anybody touch it. It is not, I said to my brother, and I said, look, nobody is fighting you for any other thing. They will use every other trick to get at that thing. That's the main thing the devil does not like in your life. That's it. Why? Because that is the source of your strength. Like I was talking about Nigeria the other time, just a while ago. I said, my friends, listen. Now, when the church became too powerful, then they neglected, you understand, the main thing. And that's why if you're a preacher, be careful, you're a pastor as an example. Any project in church that will dilute the word of God, leave it alone. You don't need it. You don't need it. You don't need it. You don't need it. Once you start cutting away time, all right, from the word, so as to accommodate other things, you are beginning to lose ground rapidly. I went to preach somewhere the other time, and a big denomination, let me just not mention him now. So, the brother who was like my host when we got there, there are many people there, so just a guy who kind of took care of us. So, we were just talking that, that this seminar used to be twice a day, the former person in charge used to do it, but now, we now began to think that one, listen to this, doesn't draw crowd. So we have reduced the seminars so that we can have more crowd drawing. Do you understand? I said, excuse me, sir, don't let that happen. I said, don't let it happen. Let me tell you something about, if you're a preacher, don't do things for this. How do I say it? For example, don't preach a message so that people will bring money. Don't. No, I'm serious about it. Don't. Don't say, okay, harvest is next week. Let me preach a hot message this week so that they will invite people for the harvest. That's called handling the word of God deceitfully. You are being crafty. One day, some boys came on from campus to come and invite me for a program, a major outreach they wanted to do. So what is it about? As you go, must be your relationships. All the years you are hearing on Cosmo FM. When did you hear me discuss relationships? Anyway, I said, sorry, I know they do. Did not say, actually, the program is not about relationships. It's an outreach. Just that we know that people like to hear things like that. I said, you see, what you are doing sounds good to you, but you are being deceptive. They were surprised. I said, you are being deceptive. I said, you are handling the word of God deceitfully. If you advertise relationships, please stick with relationships. Don't say, we used the advert on relationships to draw them, then we will now preach to them. You're a criminal. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is alive. He's not sick. He's not out of ideas. You know what I'm saying? So, don't be afraid that if you say salvation from Jesus, people won't come. Don't be afraid. They will come. Don't worry. They will come. You want to just crusade. All your sins will be forgiven. Write it like that. Yes. Say, nobody will come. Well, whoever doesn't want to come wouldn't have gotten saved if he came to hear relationships. Trust me. I told the people, I said, listen, don't worry. If you think, which is good, if you think young men, and they need it. Most young men, most young women, their parents never sat them down to teach them anything. Even the ones that the parents sat down, the parents didn't know anything too. David said, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. If your parents don't have the fear of the Lord from the word of God, what are they going to tell you? Some parents, the only thing they say is, sit down, my daughter. If it's from Arizona, this dog, don't agree. That is the only counsel. Because two generations ago, all the women from that's the only counsel. I don't want to go and marry a man that you people will be struggling, you know. That is the only counsel some people ever had. And most men, nobody gives them no counsel. Nobody. It's only the girls that get to hear something small. Usually very wicked things, but at least they hear something. But the boys, nothing. The only ones they know, now the one where the guys teach them. Over how far? Wait, see. That's the only one they know. And this is of Facebook. It's worse. Those of you who like to do Facebook, I have to give you a commission. Start chatting everything you know on Facebook. You know what I'm saying? dilute them, push out the truth, everything you know, instead of just chatting away, waiting help. So I went to Bible study today. I learned this one. Just by the way, you'll be amazed at the number of people that will be helped. All right? Okay, so I just said to the guys, listen, if you want to do relationship seminar, do it. It is good. Invite somebody that knows. It's not a trick. It's not a trick. Of course, everywhere the word of God is going forth, it is good, especially in such environments, to give a word of, what they call, an altar call and help people give their lives to Christ. But please, don't participate in YO. No matter how good it seems to you. No matter how good it seems to you. YO is YO. You come to church, you use a whole sermon to make people get ready for the harvest. What is wrong with you? Because you are hoping that they will bring last year how many tubers of yam they brought. It wasn't enough. So this week, like somebody told me, we will promote the offering. I said, my friend, go and sit down. Just tell brethren, give is good, and go and sit down. I it's good. You see, let me tell something about ministry. As a pastor, you know what you should do all the time? Keep on teaching the truth. In fact, Kenneth Hagin and men like him that I've heard, one thing they don't do when they teach on money is take an offering. That's their rule. That anytime they teach on money, you understand, they come to church, they teach on money, no offering that season. Or if he's planning to teach on money today, he takes the offering before the sermon. Every church takes offering, and it's good. It's the will of God, amen? Uh-huh. He said, but if he wants to talk on money, if normally he'll take offering at the end, he said, today, praise the Lord, before we start the service, please let us pass the offering basket or offering plate. Everybody give your offerings. Then he'll now settle down and teach on money. Then before you can vex and give an offering, he has closed the church. Yes. He comes next day, he's continuing again teaching on money. He takes the offering first. And then, because, you know, when you finish teaching, people will start jumping up and they start giving. And when they get home, they start regretting. And they start feeling bad. So I tell preachers, don't worry. Teach the truth all the time. Like the Bible says, in season and out of season. That is when you need to raise money and when you don't need to raise money, teach what you have to teach. Don't worry. Don't use the word of God. Don't use it anyhow. You know what I'm saying? The thing, you know, in the book, the introduction I wrote to that book, So Who Will Pay for This, all right? Which is also ready, all right? In that book, the introduction, in fact, that was the last bit I wrote. As I was writing, I believe I was inspired to write that. I was talking about the purity of the delivery of the word of God. And I said something. I gave two things in there. I said, listen, I'm a doctor. I said, because of that, I'm acquainted with how surgeons and nurses behave. I said, if you see how they ensure, oh God, please, one day, try and peep somewhere at a theater when a surgeon is about to operate. He washes his hands until they almost peel. Then he wears sterile gloves. They will take soap, take this soft brush, rub the soap all over their hands, and take the brush, clean under the nails, clean, 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 clean. At least when I was in school, then the rule was you go over that 3 times. You know when you want bath, you know what they do? You all rush to go bathroom like, oh, bath, sharp, sharp. Abi, the surgeon will get there. Shh, 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 shh. Wash the hand up to this level. All right? No, up to the elbow. You wash it 3 times. And then there's a trick we have to learn on how to wear your gloves. You are absolutely sterile. Why? Because it's supposed to cure you. Go and see when drugs are being prepared in pharmaceutical companies. The drug is meant to be delivered without one single organism inside. They are supposed to be delivered pure. Let me ask you a question. Which one is more important? Drugs, knives in surgery, or the word of God? Which one should therefore be handled with more purity? But pastors handle it sloppily, uselessly, anyhowly. Use it to manipulate people and twist people. No, it is not right. was when I was writing that book, it just struck me. I was just, the thing just came to my mind.